Come on, somebody. You came here today not to just be a part of another church service. You came here to give God glory. So why don't you help me out and fill in some space right now, and let's let God know you're worthy to the Most High God. Amen. Amen. Can we take a moment before I get into the Word? I know Pastor will go pray for this morning, but can you help me pray against all sickness? Because, man, I got so many different text messages and phone calls this week from people who are just beaten down by whatever virus has been circulating. And I want to thank God for those who keep kind of pressing through. This is pre-COVID days for me, where we just took some Dayquil and let's go. So I want to thank God for the Courtneys in the house who've been struggling for 3 weeks, but still present in the house of God, pressing through. And so let's stretch for the hands towards these cameras. I know people are watching right now. I know people in this room are struggling. You can hear it in my voice. But to God be the glory that He is our healer. Father, we thank You right now. As we lift our hands, we are lifting our faith to You, believing that the name of Jesus is still greater than the name of any virus or any disease that exists. So right now, as people of faith, we speak in faith and we release healing for you, my brothers and my sisters. We release healing in this room today. May every virus bow its knee to the name of Jesus. May every sickness bow its knee to the name of Jesus. May every pain and infirmity we're struggling with bow its knee to the name above all names. And people of faith today, I know you might be feeling weak and beat down, but this is the day the Lord has made. Your response is to rejoice and be glad in it. So if you know God is good, put your hands together and shout amen. Let your fatigue know God is worthy. Let your frustration know God is awesome. Let Satan know you can't stop me from giving God what He's worthy of today. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. If you have your Bibles with me today, in this series we've been talking about in the end, this series is about in the end and what's going to happen in the end times. And though I'm going to focus a little bit on the end times today, I really feel like this time of year is such an important reminder for us as believers to be grateful. Amen. I'm so thankful to know that we are one of those nations on our calendar yearly. We have a time just to pause and stop and say, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even be here. If it wasn't for the people God placed in my life that prayed for me and were there for me and encouraged me and wouldn't give up on me, probably wouldn't have made it this far. Come on, this is why we need to take a moment and not just eat some turkey and watch some football. We need to take a moment, just pause and say, thank you for everything You've done, Lord. Do I have at least 30 people in this place that aren't motivated by a holiday, but they're motivated by the fact that God has been good? And I can't help but say thank You for all You've done. Amen. Okay. What I want to do for a few moments, so as we talk about the end, is there are several signs that we talked about last week that Jesus gave us ultimately that was going to happen before His return. And whether or not you want to believe that it's pre-rapture, if that's during the tribulation, I'm not here to argue with you about what's going to happen. I don't plan on being a part of the tribulation. So if you want to go through it, you enjoy yourself. But I plan on being with Jesus. But my point is simply this. When we talk about these signs, they seem almost like just apocalyptic and mind-blowing in that sense where, wow, wars and rumors of wars everywhere. Earthquakes, famines, the globe itself crying out for its redemption. And we can focus on the darkness, right? The moon going dark, the sun turning red, and the stars going out, and just total dark. We can focus on that darkness. But I believe there's some other signs that we're living in the last days that I think are proof for you of the time period we're living in right now. Will you look with me? Here's what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it reads this way. It says, but understand this, okay? Look, get this into your head. Okay? Get this into your thinking. Understand, in the last days, terrible times will come. Terrible times will come at the end of days. Check out, so we're thinking, right? Okay, here goes more death and destruction and earthquakes and problems. And here's what he says. First of all, people will be lovers only themselves. Lovers of only themselves. And then the next part is almost as equal. Then he says, they'll be lovers of money. Woo! Good Lord. You know what I realized, Pastor Olga, in these last days? The reason why people don't give is because they don't believe it. It's because they've put their God first in their life. Their God has become money. That's why you don't give. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself and say you're not giving because you don't believe it. You're not giving because money has become your God. That's what it is. And you worship your God. That's why you don't give. Because you worship the God of this Bible, you do what the God of this Bible does. This God is a giver. Come on, somebody. Let me hear amen from the givers in the house. I'm just getting started. Come on. terrible times in these last days. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They'll be boastful and proud. They'll be scoffers, scoffing at God. Almost like the spirit that was upon Goliath will come upon this generation. They'll be scoffing at God. They'll be, here it is. You can use this. You can either write this down. Parents, you need to write this down and stick this in your kid's room. Disobedient to their parents. Come on, children. Stop ushering in the last days. Hello. Come on. All right. Disobedient to their parents. Here it is. And ungrateful. I'll come back to that in just a moment. They will consider nothing sacred. Or everything, they'll just be unholy. Nothing will be sacred anymore. They will be unloving and therefore unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. I don't know why you feel so proud of yourself when you could slander me from behind your keyboard, but you won't say it to my face. Right? You can slander me on social media, but you don't have the nerve. You're not man enough to come tell me to my face. I'm right here. Don't think I could take it? I'm right here. I stand by what I say because this bad boy's been standing by itself a long time. I stand by what I say. Slander, though. Slandering others, and they'll have no self-control. And they will be cruel, and they will hate what is good. Wow. If there's any proof that we're living in these last days, the fact that we no longer call good good and evil evil. Isaiah prophesied one time. He said, woe unto them who begin to call good evil and evil good. They will no longer, they will hate what is good, and they will be treacherous. My God. People betraying each other left and right. Reckless. Swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. As I said, most sermons that focus on eschatology, the study of the end, the study of the end of time. Most sermons that focus on eschatology will focus on the darkness that is happening out there in the world. But what Paul is pointing to right here is, well, what about the darkness that's still happening in here? What about the darkness that is still going on in your heart and in your soul? So he says, look, there's a list of things, signs, indications that we're living in the last days. But he says, here's one, and I want to focus on this one today, okay? Because whether we realize it or not, we're around it all the time. You are surrounded by a bunch of ungrateful people. Ungrateful. Thank you for that one hand clap. That's right. Okay, amen. You are surrounded by ungrateful folk. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how often I will hold the door for people. Anywhere I go, I will hold the door for people. And I'll get two or three people to say thank you. And to everyone else, I'm just like, do you think I work here? Not even a thank you. Not even a appreciate that. No, they don't even look at me. What, the door's going to hold itself? I don't know. Ungrateful people. Anybody else ever been just surrounded by ungrateful people? Please don't look around. Yeah. We know what that is like, and can I just get 50 people maybe to agree with me right now that our time is running too short to remain ungrateful. Our time is running too short to keep complaining. Our time is running too short to be whining and argumentative about everything. Time is running out. Would you do me a quick favor? Would you find that grumpy neighbor next to you and just tell them, your time is short? Yeah, that's not, no one near me, Pastor. Everyone near me is so grateful. Amen. We're so happy all the time. Your time is short, ladies and gentlemen. So instead of checking your watch, it's time to start checking your heart and checking your soul and checking your mind and checking your worship and checking your faith. Are you ready? The King is still coming soon. Yeah. All right. So according to Scripture, what we see here then is that the single largest contributor to the quality of your life, the single largest contributor is the condition of this thing called the heart. Every year at Thanksgiving, I always talk about this verse. It's Proverbs 4:23. And Solomon the Wise, he told us like this. He said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart will flow the issues of life. Maybe you didn't know this, but Satan doesn't create your issues. Maybe you didn't know this, but your boss doesn't create your issues. Maybe you didn't realize, but your spouse and your children and your neighbors don't create your issues. Your heart creates the issues. Because it's out of your heart that the issues begin to flow. And so this is why Solomon says you have to learn to guard your heart. Why? Because if something gets in your heart, it will get a hold of the reins of your life. Come on, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If something's got your heart, it has your attention. Whew. I won't even talk about the people who are in love right now, because I don't know how many of you are in love, but you know what it's like. When, at least you remember the experience when you were in love. That person had your attention. They had your time. You couldn't go to bed without thinking about them. You were dreaming about them. When you woke up, you couldn't stop thinking about them. And then you stepped into real love, okay? And real love takes real work. Hello, somebody. And they don't have my time and my attention as much, but I've graduated, if you will, to that place because when something really has my heart, when it really has my heart, it has the reins of my life. If Christ really has your heart, then we will see it by the direction of your life. Christ doesn't have your heart if you just show up on a Sunday and throw up your hands for a couple songs and say amen here and there and, you know, give God some chump change in the offering. God doesn't have your heart. He has your heart when he has your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole strength. Do you still believe that the greatest of all commandments is to love the Lord our God with all that you are? And I can tell when something has your heart, because it has your focus. And every one of us here today, our hearts are full of something, okay? I did this years ago, but let's fill in the blank, okay? Your heart is full of something. Let's fill in the blank. Just like I have a you fill in the blank kind of heart, okay? What kind of full heart do you have? What kind of full heart do you have? I'll help some of you. I'll help you right now, okay? I'll help you fill in the blank. Some of you have a deceitful heart. Woo! Yes, sir. So some of you have a disgraceful heart. Maybe it isn't this bad, but some of you have a fearful heart because you see the time we're living in. Some of you, you have a prideful heart, and that's going to cause your destruction. Others of you, whether you realize it or not, you still have a hateful heart, and God is trying to remove that hatred, replace that. Some of us, just a bottom line, like Paul said, we just have an ungrateful heart. It doesn't matter what others do for us. We're just ungrateful. Well, let's also keep filling the blank, because others of you, you have a beautiful heart. And others of you, I'm thankful that you have a hopeful heart. And others of you, thank God for you, you have a faithful heart. And others of you in this room, I know you've got a joyful heart. And I couldn't do what I do without those of you who have a helpful heart. I'm thankful that we've got full hearts in this place. My hope is that ultimately it'll be full of the Spirit of God and full of his word and purpose for you. And I can't help but think of those people that are probably the most joyful and the most thankful. Have you ever been around those kind of Christians that they always seem to get everything they want from God? You ever been on those people? I mean, they just open their mouth and pray, and it just seems like heaven opens up and here it comes. Come on. Come on, don't it just make you sick? Come on, somebody be honest. They start praying for a new house, and bam, there it is a week later. It's like, Lord, I've been saving for 4 years. Their car breaks down, and the very next day someone blesses them with another one, and you're just like, come on, God, what the heck? They go through a terrible heartbreak, and the next day they're in love with somebody brand new. You're just like, Lord. We see those people, we're just like, what are they smoking? Because they start praying, and God starts answering, let me get some of that. What is happening? What is about these people that they pray and God moves, and then the next thing they say is God is good all the time, and they can mean it because in their life they see that God is good all the time. Can I give you maybe the key so that you can become one of them one day? It says it like this. David said like this in Psalms 100. He says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing and with joy. Check this out. Here's verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. I want to show you exactly what the key is to ultimately entering into that space where you can just pray and you know God's going to respond. Tiana, give him that image of the tabernacle, because you need to see what David was imagining when he was writing Psalms 100. This is the imagery that was in David's mind. He saw that place in the back there called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant rested. That was the space for the presence of God. And so we had the Holies of Holies, and then you had this holy place in the inner sanctuary, if you will. But in the outer court where the brazen laver and the brazen altar were, to get to any of these places where they would worship, there was a place known as the gate. They had to pass through the gate. gate in the outer, literally on the outside of the courtyard. They had to pass through that gate. So David's mindset was, if I'm going to get anything from God, I can't come complaining, and I can't come upset, and I can't come angry, and I can't come wishing God would do. I need to come with my mind and my heart made up before I even get there. Thanksgiving is going to be on my lips. I will enter literally his gates with thanksgiving. And then when I bring my sacrifice, I come before his courts with praise. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why you leave the same way you came in is because your mindset is the same. You come in with, you're not even thinking of giving God thanks. You're just thinking of, what are they going to sing? And how long is the service going to last? And are there still any donuts left over from this morning? Yeah. It's there. What I'm trying to teach you is that if you want to be one of those people that when you pray, you don't have to worry about when it's going to happen because you know God is going to come through, then learn to change your mindset and say, before I get to God's place, my mindset is always, I'm thankful before I get there. Before I even bring my problem to God, I'm bringing God to my problem and letting him know God is greater than you are. God, I give you thanks. You're going to help me overcome this problem. So it's the gate. I love the Message version. I don't really read the Message version, but the Message version of Psalms 100 verse 4 says this: enter with the password, thank you. I can see Derek sitting at the door with that zoot suit and fedora on and his Tommy gun, and he's just waiting for you to come in. And before he lets you in, he's like, what's the password? Thank you. Boom. This is what I came to do. I realize if I want to get where God is, I've got to come with an attitude of gratitude. That's what it comes down to. Any thankful people in the house today can say amen. 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 Thank you. I'm glad you're here. So I want to give you five quick things, and I promise I'll be quick because I know you you got Thanksgiving plans. Or, thank you, sir. You're the only ones ever going to say that to me. Thank you. I'm grateful for you. To everyone else that is getting an early start on Thanksgiving, let me give you five quick things. To have a thankful heart. Not just a heart full of anything, but a heart full of thanks. I believe there's some things that we need to understand. First and foremost, if we're going to have a thankful heart, I really believe we understand that giving God thanks is not conditional. It's not. Giving God thanks always has to be continual. Not conditional. Not based on conditions. Not based on circumstance. Not based on whether or not God is answering your prayer in your time frame. That's conditional thanks. Oh, thanks for doing it when I wanted you to do it. That's conditional. No, real thanks is telling God, thank you all the time, no matter what. And I know this feels backwards. Like you look at it and you're just like, we don't typically say thank you to somebody until after they've already done something for us. But this is what Paul teaches us in Philippians 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Ooh, somebody knows the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice at all times, in all situations. And listen to me, if you and I were only grateful when everything is going good, then what makes us any different than anybody in the world? If we're always saying thank you only after we get something, what makes us any different than anybody in the world? But Paul has a different mindset, and he says this. He says, listen, because God is always good, I know that God is always going to work everything together for my good. I love quoting Romans 8 to you. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works together. He works all things together for good to those who love him. So you can conclude today, in any bad situation or any bad circumstance, all I know is that if it's bad, God can still turn it for my good. I need about 10 people just to throw your hands up and let God know, even if hell breaks loose in my life, if hell breaks loose in my money, if hell breaks loose in my marriage, if hell breaks loose in my family, I have made up my mind. I've got an attitude of gratitude. And instead of getting mad at God, how about you get mad at that problem and just let it know in just a due season, you're about to turn from bad to good because God works all things together for my good. If you believe it, say amen. In your prayer life, I think some of you have really missed the power of your prayer life. Because instead of coming to God like a slave and begging, and angry and literally just, I'm not saying we can't come before God and cry. I'm just saying we can't come before God and act like we're not his children. And there's something about my children. I know it every time they ask me for something. They almost know I'm going to do it. Is that manipulation? I'm just asking. I don't know. Is that what they ask knowing somehow they're going to figure out a way to get me to do it. So, somehow they just know the end result is if I ask, my daddy's going to do it. I don't always want to. A lot of times I say no. But somehow that no, just why am I driving back to Walgreens for Takis again? What just happened here? What just happened here? Can I just simply tell you today that you've missed the power of praise in your prayer life? Because what praise does is when you're praying, what you have to learn how to do is when we say put a praise on it. Put a praise on it. So when you start praying, don't do what we do in church. Church tells us, wait till the end of service and then we'll put a praise on it. Right? Wait till the word gets done and then we'll put a praise on it and we'll thank God. But when you're praying in faith, what praying in faith does is simply says, I'm going to put a praise on it before you even do anything. I'm going to put a thank you on it before you even answer. I'm going to say thank you for what you've done even though it hasn't happened yet. Thank you, I'm going to get blessed even though you haven't even driven me to Walgreens yet. This is what you're telling God when you learn to pray with praise on your lips. You're saying, God, I believe it's already done. Do I have any people of faith in these last days that realize I need to stop begging and I just need to start praising every time I come before my Father? Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. Anybody today still believing God for some miracles? Anybody believing God for some breakthrough? Anybody believing God that he can still do impossible things in your life? Come on, then don't wait until God does it to say thank you. Throw up your hands right now and say, thank you, Lord. You're moving in my money. Thank you, God, you're making relationships right. Thank you, God, you're bringing deliverance. Thank you, God, you're bringing healing. Thank you, God, you're bringing the blessing. Thank you, God, you're bringing the breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, before it happens. I'm sitting here saying, thank you. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. Once you learn to stop waiting to the back end to say thank you and you start praising him on the front end, whoo, you're gonna move from that place of feeling constantly like it has to be conditional before I say thank you. And you're just getting that place where it's just continuous. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be on my mouth. For those of you who are looking to have a thankful heart in this season, you also need to understand this. I could stay here all day. Number two, complainers are not conquerors. Let me hear from some people who just can't stand complaining. Complainers aren't conquerors. Come on. You didn't take down that giant by complaining at him. You didn't overcome that sickness or that problem by complaining about it constantly. You didn't woo anybody's heart by constantly nagging them. I'm not saying they didn't give in. I'm just saying you didn't win their heart. Okay? That's all. You didn't conquer anything. Complainers are not conquerors. Here's what I used to actually believe, that people complained because they had a lot of problems. Reverend Jerry had been around for a while. What I've learned in 4 decades of ministry is that now I realize that people have a lot of problems because they keep complaining. It's biblical. You think so? Check this out. Psalm 77:3. I complained, and then my soul, woo, was overwhelmed. Oh, Lord. I didn't realize that happened. Oh, shoot. I'm about to help somebody get to a whole new level of joy today. You're not just complaining about your problems. You are adding problems to your problems by continuing to complain. I mean, think about it. Every time you complain, what does it do? It only amplifies your frustration, right? Every time you complain, it only continues to spread discontentment and even division. And whether you realize it or not spiritually, every time you complain, Satan grabs a hold of that stuff and he can't wait to wreak havoc in your life based on your constant complaints. But this is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, but thanks be unto God. Do I have any conquerors still in the house? Anybody that still believe you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you? He says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hear it. Always causes. What does always mean? Always. As long as I stop complaining, I am always going to be a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And I get it. You could sit here and you could think about all the things that cause you to complain, right? You've got so many things we can think about that cause us to complain. We've got our taxes. Come on, I hate taxes. We've got chores at home. We've got our bills we have to pay. We've got family members that make us discouraged and disgruntled and we want to complain about. And we've even got, dare I say, church services and church people and ministers that we can literally be discouraged by and we can feel despondent because of. But can I encourage you, even when you feel discouraged, watch your mouth. Don't complain. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. I love this verse because it says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Ooh, I'm about to save some marriages right now. Hello. Do everything without, woo. I can find a godly husband that would just put that up right there. Honey, this is for you, baby girl. I love you. Do everything. Come on, somebody. If I could find some godly believers, don't come bending my ear about all your problems at the end of church. Come bending my ear and tell me I believe God's going to do it. Yeah. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Here's why, though. I love how Paul doesn't just leave us with the command. He says, here's why. So that you may become blameless and pure. Ooh. What? Reverend Jerry, we know that the kind of church Jesus is going to come back for doesn't have spots and wrinkles and blemishes. It will be blameless and pure. When I stop complaining and I start being, I just stop being argumentative just to argue, when I stop that, I'm actually starting to present myself before God as blameless and pure because I live in a crooked and depraved generation. As a child of God, I don't have fault anymore when I just stop complaining. Because listen to me, I can't really do anything about it anyway, so I'm just going to trust God's going to take care of this. And then look what the Bible says. When I stop complaining, I stop arguing, I literally will begin to shine like the stars in the universe. Okay, listen to me. I agree with you. I hate taxes. I hate them. But I'm thankful because it means that I have income. Thank you. So one hand clap, amen, because the rest of us are like, screw the IRS, Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay, cool. I'm listen to me, I'm thankful for dirty dishes and dirty bathrooms and piles of laundry because there's six people in my house. I didn't say I like it, I said I'm thankful because it simply means that I have a home. Yep, there we go, somebody's getting it. I'm gonna be honest. I hate that ComEd keeps raising my rate to the point of paying a mortgage. I hate that. But I'm thankful because it means I get to charge my cell phone and watch TV and get on my laptop because I have electricity. I'm thankful for that. I really do. I hate knowing that my kids leave their stuff everywhere. I hate it. I'm yelling at them all the time. And I hate knowing that they won't do their own dishes. I hate it. But you know what it means? It also means I'm thankful because I have the people that I love still close to me. So though I'm complaining sometimes, I'm grateful that they're still there. Can you just agree with me that in these last days, we need to see more children of God begin to emerge? It's when you grow up from complaining and you start shining like a star in the universe. I believe this generation is going to grow up before Christ returns. And I can't wait until complaints get off your lips and just praise to God all the time is what you are known for. Let the people of God in this place who are conquerors and say complaining has no place in my heart or my mind. I'm a conqueror. So thanks be unto God who always gives me victory through Jesus Christ my Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. I gotta finish up here. Number three. Again, if you want to have a thankful heart, you have to understand this. You have to understand that God not only deserves your thanks, God actually desires it. This is a different mindset. Okay? We come in and God, you're worthy of my worship. But do you also realize that God wants your worship? Of course he's worthy of it. He's God. But it changes the whole dynamic when we don't just think of him as somebody who's distant and aloof and it's just so worthy. But then we realize he has desire. He wants his presence to overwhelm my life. He wants me to worship him so he can meet me right where I'm at. He doesn't just desire me to be thankful. He doesn't just deserve it. He desires it. Yeah, God deserves for me to say thank you all the time, but he desires that I turn around. And instead of just coming to him because I've got leprosy and I need the healing, and he gives me the word of healing, I can run to the priest to get my healing. He wants me to stop while the other nine keep running and turn back and come and say, thank you. Thank you. You didn't have to do this. Thank you. He doesn't just deserve your thanks. He desires your thanks. Paul said like this to the Thessalonian church, the Thessalonica church. He said, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he said, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, so if you've ever asked the question, what is God's will for my life? Paul answers it. What is God's will for my life? To give thanks in all circumstances. That's actually God's will for your life, just to be thankful in all circumstances. But the question that we need to answer is, okay, so when will I be thankful? Anyone got an alarm clock that like if someone else's phone has that sound go off and you hear it, you know what I'm talking about? Like, that's my alarm, and then you could just feel that same feeling you feel in the morning when your alarm clock goes off, just that overwhelming sense of awe, just like disgust and icky and just, my what? It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why do you have my morning alarm going off on your phone? It just takes you to that moment, right? But I want to tell you this. When that alarm clock goes off in the morning, give thanks, because it means you're still alive. When people begin to complain about their government, give thanks, because it means we still have freedom of speech. When the people behind you or around you are singing off key during church services, don't plug your ears. Give thanks, because it means you still have the ability to hear. Come on, somebody. Clearly they're tone deaf, but I'm not. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you've got to give thanks. When your clothes start to fit a little too snug, give thanks, because clearly it means you are well fed. Come on, somebody. I want to declare right now in this place, because as I look around this room, I realize there's probably nobody dying of hunger. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, some of you might want to consider taking up fasting for a little bit. But here's my point. In all those things, in every situation, maybe, just maybe, we need to pause for the cause and just say, thank you, Lord, that I'm doing well. Thank you, Lord, that I don't live in lack. Instead, thank you, God, for your abundant blessing in my life. Let me get 25 people to put your hands together and give God praise, because he's been good all the time. He's been abundant in his blessings. He doesn't just deserve it. He desires it. I want to pause and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Impact Church. Thank you for the privilege to do what I do. Thank you for the men and women that are willing to do it with me. Amen. Number four, to have a thankful heart. And I need you to consider this for a moment. Weigh this. To have a thankful heart, we need to realize that gratitude will insulate us from any unnecessary anxiety. This is a dark world. There are problems everywhere. There's pain everywhere. And many of us don't even feel safe. So I want to help insulate you from the anxieties of life. Scripture teaches us this: to get an attitude of thankfulness. Just be grateful. My gratitude. Let me say this. Maybe you don't realize that every morning when you wake up, you don't have to be anxious. Maybe you don't realize that throughout your day, you don't have to be weighed down by worry and fear and depression. Maybe you don't realize that when you go to bed at night, you don't have to stay awake for hours while your mind is troubled about what might happen, what could happen. I'm not saying we shouldn't plan. I'm saying it shouldn't let you rob you of your sleep. Anxiety. And the only weapon that God gives us against worry and anxiety and sheer panic is this weapon called gratitude. What do I mean? Okay, think about it. Philippians 4:6. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. I believe he's actually repeating what Jesus told us. Okay, when we start worrying about what we're going to wear and what we're going to eat and what we're going to have, Jesus says, look, that's what the pagans do. That's not what God's children do. Because if God will take care of the ravens and the birds, God will take care of you. Yeah? So instead of worrying about these things, instead just put God first in everything. Seek first the kingdom of God. Keep him involved in everything you're doing, and all these things will be added to you. So Paul, I believe, picks up on what Jesus says. He's like, look, you don't have to be anxious about anything. But instead, when you pray in every situation, by prayer and petition, here it is, with thanksgiving. There is your weapon against anxiety. There is your weapon against worry. There is your weapon against the terror and the panic of this life. Give thanks to God. With thanksgiving, you can present your request to the Lord. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, you might be anxious about what might happen. But if you will grab that weapon of gratitude, what begins to happen is gratitude begins to remind you what God has done in the past. And gratitude begins to create faith for what God is going to do in this situation. And instead of living worried about tomorrow, you just give God thanks. He's already been there. You've got this. I trust you. Thank you. It's all going to work out in Jesus' name. Anyone ever applied that and seen it work? It just applied gratitude to your anxiety and just seen it just kind of start to whoop anxiety's tail? Yeah, absolutely. Amen. For the rest of you who haven't tried it yet, go ahead and give it a go. It works. It works. And you might actually be a little more joyful and less anxious and less annoying. Come on, somebody. Hello. Amen. Gratitude will insulate us from the unnecessary anxiety in our life. And the last thing is this, and I'm wrapping up here. I need you to understand that having a thankful heart doesn't just show up on the fourth Thursday of every November. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln, if I'm correct, that signed that into law. I might be wrong, but if I'm remembering American history right, the idea of, am I right? Okay, thank you. Okay. I do know some history. I love history, so. But thank you, Kristen, for clarifying. The understanding of being thankful, it has been indoctrinated into our mindset as Americans for now 160 years. Good. Good. Because if we know anything about our own founding, our own history, the pilgrims, when they came, and when they were without, providence happened. God's provision happened. And when they could have died off, God used the Native Americans to come alongside and literally help keep something that could have died at the very beginning. Now, listen, I'm not trying to get all political about this. Let's just be historians for a moment, okay? Screw your political mindset around. Screw it, because I don't even need it. It doesn't help anybody anyway. Okay, screw it. Just historically, God has blessed this nation time and time again over hundreds of years because at the very beginning, the pilgrims decided, let's do what we saw the Jews do in Scripture. Let's have a time where we just pause and say thank you for what you've done. See, I'm just being historical. I'm not being political. I'm being historical. The Jews every year had seven feasts, but one in particular that was set aside to give God thanks, to thank him for the grain and the harvest, to thank him for their livestock, to thank him for their families, to thank him for the tabernacle and then eventually the temple. It was a time to pause and stop and give God thanks. And so the pilgrims grabbed that and they begin to do that. And then hundreds of years later, Abraham Lincoln says, let's make this an actual holiday. And now here we are in 2023 celebrating something from our nation, before our nation was even founded, celebrating an established holiday, a holy day, if you will, where we pause for the cause and just say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. And I also want to say thank you for what's still to come. Because if you were done with me, I'd already be with you. But since you're not, I believe better days are still to come. The latter will still be greater than the former. Thank you, Lord. And here's my last point. I said all that to simply say this. Gratitude is the seed for more. Whew. Gratitude is the seed for more. Listen to me. When you are ungrateful, what you're doing is you are robbing your harvest. But when you are grateful, what you are doing is you are actually sowing seed that will produce more things to be grateful for. Every time I just stop and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done, I am sowing more seed for something else God is going to eventually do in my life. That's what it means to just continuously be grateful at all times. Kristen, we were talking about this before service. I'm going to teach this for just a moment. And I love doing this from just a physical illustration, if you will. It's a natural principle. But with this natural principle, I'm going to show you a spiritual principle. Let's give them the water cycle. You've seen me do this before. I love the idea of this natural principle. The idea of the water cycle. You remember this from grade school, how this works, right? The water, wherever it sits, it collects, it evaporates, it goes back up into the clouds, it becomes condensation. In the clouds then, it turns into precipitation and it comes back to earth. And here is a continuous cycle that is happening in a natural way. It is the establishment of what I want to show you here. And ultimately what we see is this principle known as the water cycle. And it's just really cool. I love the Bible in this, that fun fact. Okay. The whole principle of the water cycle wasn't discovered until the 1700s, okay? 17th century. So, 1600s. So this idea in its completion wasn't fully understood until just about 400 years ago. But the oldest book in the Bible actually talks about the water cycle. Job 36, verse 27 says, God draws up the water vapor, then distills it into rain. The clouds pour down their moisture, and abundant showers fall on mankind. So 3,000 years before we even discovered the water cycle, the Bible already knew about it, because your God already knows all things. And your God understands that this natural principle also works in the spirit, because your God is so good, he is always showering down his love, always showering down his grace, always showering down his goodness, his favor, his blessings. Now what your response is, as that begins to hit me, my response is not just to let it sit and soak it all in. My response is to offer back up a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord, a sacrifice of thanksgiving back to God. And that's how I keep the cycle going. And I came to tell somebody, if the clouds over your head are dark, it's because you've been offering nothing but complaints and negativity and pain and anger. But if you want to see some clouds of blessing begin to form over your life, then you've got to begin to lift your hands and lift your voice and say, God, I thank you. God, I bless you. I will worship you. No matter what I go through, you are worthy. Can I find some people that need a big fat cloud of blessing to overtake your family and overtake your finances, to begin to lift your voice and tell God thank you, because whatever you send up is whatever's going to be poured out on your life. Right now, send up that praise, send up that worship, send up that thanks, send up that love to God, because it's a cycle. As you send it up, God's going to send it back. Hallelujah. Stand your feet with me today. Stand your feet with me. If we want a continuous cycle of depression, that cloud sitting over us, then you just keep offering up, I'll never get out of this. This is always going to be here. It's hereditary. Medicine can't help me. A counselor can't help me. A psychiatrist can't help me. The church can't help me. You just keep offering that up. And you're literally feeding the atmosphere over your life. I'm trying to be for real. I'm trying to be so honest with some of you. The reason that you keep getting these showers of problems is because what you keep offering up. Now, I know it rains on the just and the unjust. I know that. But the reason the just keep standing, it's because we also see the blessings of God, because our foundation is not built on the shifting sand of condition. It is built on the continuous praise of our God. And so when the wind comes and the waves beat against my house, I continue to stand, because I've built it on the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And this is why my house keeps standing. And I believe today that if you will just learn from this simple principle, instead of just sitting there and complaining all the time, instead of sitting there anxious and worried all the time, and instead of being so negative and nasty all the time, How about you begin to offer up to God just a sound of thanksgiving with every hand raised in this place today? Whatever we send up will be poured out. Whatever we offer up, God will begin to pour it in our lives. And I get it, some of you, you've been going through such a terrible season. I'm not saying to offer up to God the problem. I'm just saying before you offer the problem, offer some praise. Offer that praise that says, God, I know you'll do it. God, I know you're able. Before you offer up the worry and the anxiety, offer up the sound of joy to God that just says, God, you're awesome. And I thank you that you're going to come through. But before I even begin to worry this week about what it's going to be around certain family members and how they're going to act and what we're going to talk about, instead of being anxious about those things, let's just take these moments right now and just offer up to God just a sound of love and adoration. Because what your family needs is not another argument. Your family doesn't need another debate at the dinner table. Family doesn't need to butt heads anymore. They need to see you so full of the love of God and the joy of God and the peace of God that nothing they say or do can rattle you this week. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God is trying to pour out some sense of peace over your life this week so that you will actually enjoy your holiday and not even be anxious about it. So come on, let's just take these next 30 seconds. Let's just offer up Thanksgiving back to God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done. Somebody needs to take a moment and just kind of look over your shoulder and remind yourself, forget not all his benefits. Every time he's healed you, thank you, Lord. Every time he's brought you through, thank you, Lord. Every time he made a way of escape during the temptation, thank you, Lord. Everything that you've lost, but he has restored, thank you, Lord. I can't help but look back and just be so grateful for all you've done. If you're still alive today and you know you shouldn't be, thank you, Lord. If you're here and you should be in prison or in a hospital or something, but you're here, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you could be literally strung out on drugs right now, thank God that I'm not. I'm here and in my right mind. You could still be demon-oppressed and demon-possessed, but you're free and you're a child of God. Can you look back and say, thank you, Lord? Now take these next few moments and look at your current situation. It may not be everything you want, but thank God I have anything to even be thankful for in the first place. Thank you. It might not be the car that I want, but thank you, Lord, I'm still able to get around. It might not be the relationship I want, but thank Lord that I'm not alone. It might not be the income that I want, but thank you, Lord, that I still have something. And I believe tomorrow is still another day. I believe that the blessings of God are still going to overtake me. I'm thankful for what's happening right now. And maybe you're not thankful right now, so let's just put a praise on tomorrow. Let's get in front of tomorrow and say, thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for your provision. Thank you, God, that you're gonna bring healing and victory and breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, that by tomorrow, though I'm not promised tomorrow, I promise that you are already in my tomorrow, making a way for me tomorrow. So today, I say thank you for what's to come. And I still believe in a God who's going to do greater things in the end than he's done in the past. I said, I still believe in a God who promises greater things in the end than he's done in the past. In the end, your worry's going to go. In the end, your struggles are going to end. In the end, your pain and shame and sorrow are going to be done and over with. In the end, every problem in this life will find its end. But this one thing will remain forever and ever. Psalms 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy, literally his loving kindness, endures forever and ever. Somebody praise him that everything else will end, but his love for you, his mercy towards you, his kindness for you knows no end. One more time, just with our hands raised, and I ask every believer just to throw up your hands real high, and I'll end this service right here. With our hands raised, we look to heaven. When Jesus held five loaves and two fish, Emmanuel, He knew he had 5,000 people to feed. But he didn't look at the five loaves and two fish. You know what he did? The Bible tells us he looked up. He looked up. The reason some of you feel so inefficient and deficient and like you see so much lack is because you're still looking at the five loaves and two fish. And you realize I've got 5,000 that I have to feed. How is this going to happen? I'm just simply trying to tell you, you've got your focus in the wrong place. And gratitude is still a choice. You can look at that bread and say, I don't have enough. Or you can look up to the God who's more than enough and say, I believe you and I trust you. And before Jesus even broke anything, you know what he did? He gave thanks. He said, Father, I thank you. I give you thanks. And that's where it begins, ladies and gentlemen. If you're looking at more than or less than enough, then look up to the one who is more than enough and give him thanks every single day, not based on condition, but based on a continuous praise in your heart. I will give you praise and thanks at all times. And the Bible tells us that's when creative miracles begin to happen. When we stop looking at what we don't have and we start looking to the one who has it all, that's where literally creative miracles begin to give birth in our life, when we just keep giving him the thanks. Maybe everything isn't the way you want it to be, but keep throwing up your hands and giving him thanks. Maybe you are deficient and inefficient. Maybe you are inept and don't have enough. So stop looking at what you have and just look up. Look up. I've been telling you this for weeks now. Just look up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm not Jesus. Would you with me look up one more time? As our Savior did. Whew. Jesus is my greatest example of gratitude. God, he knew what was going to happen in the very next moment. He knew you were going to multiply the loaves and the fish. He knew that just not just 5,000 men, but even women and children were going to be fed until they were full. But before he even performed a miracle, he paused and gave thanks. So that's what we do right now. Before I expect a miracle in my life, I just pause and say thank you. Before I see the overflow and the abundance in my life, I pause to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're grateful for the people around you, would you grab their hand and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for my brother, my sister. Thank you for my husband, my wife. Thank you for my family, my children, my parents, my relatives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've blessed me with. Thank you, Lord. When you focus on all the things you have to complain about, it feels like the complaints just get bigger. And the opposite is true. When you focus on all the things you have to give thanks about, the reason to give thanks just keep getting bigger. Amen. It's my desire that in these last days that I'm not surrounded by Christians who are ungrateful. No. Pastor Olga said it during our little video, but I want to thank every one of you who even every week will take the time to just reach out to me to say thank you in some form or fashion, whether it's Facebook or text message or some people are so old school, sending a little email or something, you know, or even older, might write it by hand, whatever, I don't care. Thank you. Thank you. Because what you're showing me is that Jesus can come anytime he wants to, but he's not going to find any ungrateful person here, Pastor. And I believe in these last days, we're going to find so many more reasons to be thankful as we continue to just be thankful. Amen. Gratitude is your seed for more. It is your seed for more. Amen.